Chapter 7. Owen. When I return to the inn, the sun is waning in the afternoon sky. Pushing open the door to the Crown's Grace, I immediately locate Talon and the other rangers sitting at a table on the far side of the common room. Rollo's had left us shortly after we entered the city, so for now only the rangers and I are staying at the inn. Approaching them, I notice that they're each holding a set of cards, and a handful of copper pieces rests on the table beside their drinks. "What are you playing?"
"Demon scum," Talon responds without looking up from his hand. He wears a look of concentration that I've never seen on him before. "Want to play?"
I shake my head, sitting down at an empty seat next to him. "No," I reply, letting out a deep breath. "I'll just watch." Out of the corner of his eye, Talon glances over at me, then lets out a snort.
"You look like a miner at a brothel on payday. What's got you so happy?"
Shrugging, I try to stifle the grin splitting my face.
"It's nothing. Just glad to be back in the city."
He turns, eyeing me for a moment before clicking his tongue and returning to look at his cards.
"Uh-huh. Sure, lover boy. You strike me as the sort of person that just loves being in cities."
One of the rangers across from me snickers. I clear my throat, attempting to change the subject.
"I've never heard about this game. How do you play?"
"It's a game of bluffing,"
deep-voiced Ian replies, his ranger cloak tossed over his shoulder as he regards his cards thoughtfully.
"The goal is to get rid of your hand before anyone else does. If you call someone's bluff, they have to pick up more cards."
He glances up from his cards and lays them face down on a pile of cards in the middle of the table.
"Two growlers."
Nobody says anything. Next, scraggly bearded Dearth lays down two cards.
"Two banshees."
Again, nobody replies. All eyes turn to Talon, who fixes everyone with a sly look. Then, with obvious nonchalance, he discards three cards from his hand.
"Three princes,"
he says coolly, as if he didn't have a care in the world.
"Scum,"
growls Ian, which I assume is to call his bluff. Talon leans forward, placing his other cards down in front of him.
"Are you sure you want to do that, mate?"
Ian nods.
"Let's see them."
Reluctantly, Talon picks them up and lays them face up for everyone to see. Depicted on the cards are two little imp-looking things and a seductive woman with razor-sharp claws instead of hands. A succubus? The other rangers grin and Talon curses.
11 hells, he mutters,
picking up his cards and drawing three more from the deck.
"That's the third time already."
Ian lets out a low chuckle.
"You need to become a better liar, apprentice."
"I'll make sure Master Warden Moyle knows you said that,"
he replies bitterly, looking down at the growing pile of cards in his hand. The other rangers laugh. I sit there for a time, observing their game and engaging every so often in conversation. Eventually, we order food from the barmaid, succulent pork and steamed vegetables covered in a brown peppery sauce that makes my mouth tingle. I manage to down two plates of the delicious stuff before I'm finally full. After the meal, I decide to retire to our rooms upstairs. Even though it's still early in the evening, I find that I'm exhausted. I'd frankly rather sleep than stay up late talking anyway. Nobody follows me, for which I'm grateful. I don't mind having some time alone to think about tomorrow's meeting, as well as my reunion with Zara. I climb the stairs, polished wood creaking beneath my boots, and close the door to my shared room behind me. Letting out a sigh, I move to undress. 3 days in the saddle can wear out even the most seasoned riders, and within the relative safety of a city, I know it should be easy to find rest. Curiously, however, sleep manages to elude me as I lie on the cushy bed. Even through the walls of the inn, I can hear the sounds of the city as easily as if I were standing right there on the street. Oddly enough, the unnatural noises, which I find to be surprisingly comforting, are not what keeps me from falling asleep. Thoughts of Zara flit in and out of my mind, teasing me and preventing me from relaxing.
Memories of our embrace taunt me. Light, what came over me? I shouldn't have been so forward with her. And yet she seemed to have liked my forwardness, blushing so red her face might as well have had red paint smeared across it. My own cheeks warm at the memory. I smile up at the ceiling as I think about her. She's grown even more beautiful since I've been gone, I realize fondly. Those playful eyes of hers, and her figure. Shaking my head, I squeeze my eyes shut and try not to think about it. Stupid, I think, berating myself. Friends don't think about each other that way. Besides, she's still a bloody mage. It'll never work between us. We rangers aren't much of the relationship type. I roll over onto my side and attempt to think of other things, but it's a struggle not to let my thoughts drift back to her. After some time, I'm finally able to fall asleep, my mind fading into a comfortable blackness. Sometime in the night, however, my dreamless slumber is plagued by a terrible nightmare, filled with snarling darkhounds crawling from the shadows and the cackling laughter of a gorgon wielding a flaming sword. I watch in horror as the city burns around me, piles of human corpses heaped upon the blood-soaked streets. When I wake up, sweating and panting, I can see the purple light of dawn filtering through the bedroom window. Talon snores softly in the bed on the other side of the room, and everything around me is exactly the way it had been when I fell asleep. Hells, I think, running a hand through my matted hair. These nightmares just won't quit, and they're getting even more frequent than before. Taking a few deep breaths to calm myself, I pull myself out of bed and begin doing push-ups on the floor. The repetitive motion settles my nerves as it strains my muscles, and after a few minutes I begin to feel much better. Eventually I push myself to my knees, chest and arms protesting from the exercise. The purple light is transformed to a light gold, indicating that the sun has risen over the horizon. Knowing that I'll no longer be able to go back to sleep, I begin to ready myself for the day. I clean my face and beneath my arms, water splashing softly in the water basin, and rinse my mouth with some minty solution resting on the nightstand. Feeling refreshed, I start to dress, pulling my trousers and tunic on, and putting my cloak over my shoulders. Looking over at Talon, I find that he's still sound asleep. He'll likely be annoyed that I didn't wake him to go explore the city, but I don't really care. He insisted on coming with me to Tarsus, knowing full well that he was not invited to attend my meeting with the king. I'm sure that he'll get over it. Quietly, I make my way downstairs to the common room, where a handful of patrons sit near the hearth, eating steaming bowls of porridge. The matron hands me a bowl and a spoon, and I thank her, eating quickly while I stand in a corner. I finish and return to the bar, handing the tableware back to her with a grateful nod. Hunger sated, I head out for the conclave to spend some time with Zara before we must go to the palace. If I walk fast, I should have a few hours with her before our meeting. Stepping out of the inn, I take a deep breath of the cold morning air and immediately grimace. My nostrils, so accustomed to breathing in the fresh scents of trees and earth, are assaulted by the smells of the city. Sewage, smoke, cooking food, and refuse, all intermingling to create a truly disgusting stench. Taking care to breathe only through my mouth, I walk out onto the cobblestone street and make my way toward the Pillar of Radiance, which rises from the stone buildings like an obelisk carved out of ivory-colored marble with veins of burnished gold. Few carriages and people are about at this early hour, though I don't doubt that the streets will soon be flooded with human activity. In less than an hour, I arrive at the great complex in the center of Tarsus, an area that is noticeably cleaner and grander than the rest of the city around it. I approach the guards standing watch outside of the conclave gates, their breastplates gleaming in the morning sun, and their halberds held up, sapphire-colored tassels waving in the wind. Surprisingly, they step aside as I approach, pushing the iron-wrought gates open for me to enter the main plaza. Quirking a questioning eyebrow in their direction, I inquire as to why they're letting me in without an escort.
"Seeker Denel gave us instructions to allow you entrance," one of the guards replies, eyes remaining straight ahead. said that the same ranger that was with her yesterday would be coming, and that he was to be allowed in.
I see, I murmur. Well then, thank you.
Walking past them, I make my way toward the steps leading to the gardens. They don't respond, merely closing the gates shut behind me. Striding up the stairs, I glance around to see that the gardens, though not so busy as they were yesterday, are still quite crowded with well-dressed people, consisting mostly of mages in their long telltale blue robes. They meander through the paths, flanked on all sides by the massive towers that make up the conclave, which cast long shadows in the morning sun. I don't get very far before I find Zara sitting on a bench, reading a book covered in strange silvery-colored runes. Just like yesterday, she's wearing the robes of a mage, along with doeskin boots and delicate white gloves, probably to ward off the autumn chill. She glances up at me as I approach, closing the book and giving me a heart-stopping smile.
"Good morning, Owen. Did you sleep well?"
I return the smile and shrug casually.
"Well enough. How about you?"
"Wonderfully,"
she replies, tucking the book under her arm. "Shall we begin our tour?" I can't help but chuckle at her eagerness to show me around. "All right," I reply. "Lead the way." Together we head up the steps and through the massive double doors of the Pillar of Radiance. Although I've been here a couple times during my first visit to Tarsus, the sheer size of the place still fills me with a sense of awe. The main floor consists of a great domed chamber, and bustles with mages and nobles from all over the city, conversing with one another as they make their way to and from the forest of columns in the center. I regard them warily, eyeing the strange multicolored pillars with a growing sense of dread. Memories of shooting up the hollow tubes on platforms of magic flood my mind, causing my stomach to churn as we approach them. Zara glances at me as we walk up to one column in particular.
"Are you all right?"
she asks. "You look like you've just seen a demon." I force a smile, but it feels more like a grimace.
"Yeah, I'm fine."
She raises an eyebrow, lips curving up at the corners.
"If you say so,"
she says, turning to look at the elderly mage guarding the front of the column.
"Seeker Zara Denil, I'm escorting this ranger to the pinnacle."
The old man fixes me with a stern gaze, but does not dispute her. Instead, he steps to the side and places a hand on the stone, causing it to glow faintly beneath his touch. A door materializes on the column and slides open, revealing the hollowed-out middle. Zara steps inside without hesitation, and I reluctantly follow her, feeling my pulse start to quicken as the door slides shut behind me. Blue energy, like shimmering, translucent water, forms beneath our feet, and I can feel us start to rise as it carries us up into the tower. I take in a deep breath through my nose, stiffening against the motion, but fortunately, the ride doesn't last long. The platform slows and eventually comes to a full stop as the door opens once again, revealing a completely different floor in front of us. As light from the hall floods the lift, I realize that in my anxiety, I had taken Zara's hand in mine, clutching her small fingers in a vice-like grip. I quickly let go, flushing with embarrassment.
"Sorry," I mutter, exiting the lift beside her.
"It's okay," she says, not seeming to be bothered by it at all.
"Lifts take some time to get used to."
Zara proceeds to lead me down a long, curving hallway, walking briskly past windows which offer dazzling views of the city. I recognize this hall as the place we'd been brought to on our first night in the city, reporting to the Circle.
Why in the light have we returned here?
Soon we approach a single door set into an awning on the inner wall. Going through, we find yet another lift on the inside. This one is much smaller and very different in color than the one we just exited. Zara uses some kind of spell, opening the door of the black and red marbled column. As we enter, I pointedly don't reach for her hand again, instead thrusting them into the pockets of my cloak. If anything, this seems to amuse her as she glances back at me. This ride feels even shorter than the first, and it isn't long before the door slides open again, revealing a wide domed chamber with a large opening carved into the ceiling. My jaw drops as I step onto a platform, looking up at an enormous bluish crystal floating in the air. Its surface, smooth and multifaceted, glistens like polished glass, and swirling patterns of light dance within, pulsing like something alive. The light, which looks a lot like the radiant magic that I've seen Zara channel, gathers near the top of the crystal, shooting up in a beam that disappears through the hole above. Almost instantly I realize what I'm looking at, the power source of the Arc of Radiance itself.
"The Heart of Light," Zara remarks reverently at my side. "Light almighty," I murmur, eyes fixating on the pulsing energy within the great source crystal. "I've never seen anything like it."
All around it, mages with odd-looking tools and notebooks randomly prod the thing and hurriedly scribble down notes.
"They must be testing it for something," I think as I observe them. Next to its massive size, they look like little more than insects. "This is what we're fighting for, Owen," she says softly. "This is what the demons and the harbingers are trying to destroy."
"It's all that is holding back the armies of the R'hllar, isn't it?" I reply, eyes still fixed on the crystalline structure. "Without this, we're all doomed."
"Yes," she confirms solemnly.
We stand there for a time, staring up at the Heart of Light, shoulder to shoulder on the platform. My skin prickles as the pulsing magic thrums around us, though I don't know if it's some side effect of the radiant magic or my own imagination.
"It certainly puts things in perspective," I mutter, tearing my eyes away and turning to regard Zara. "Next to this thing, all our problems seem petty and insignificant."
"It's more fragile than it appears, I'm afraid," she says. "For some reason the heart is failing. That's how demons are getting through the Ark."
"Any ideas about how to fix it?"
She shakes her head.
"None yet."
A silence settles between us.
11 hells, I think, glancing back at the enormous crystal. "These are the smartest people in Tarsinium, and even they don't have a plan to keep the Ark from failing. I always thought that if anyone could prevent this crisis, the mages of the Conclave would be able to do it."
A knot forms in the pit of my stomach, but I turn, trying with some difficulty to project confidence.
"You'll think of something. If mages could prevent the end of the world 1,000 years ago, then they can do so again now."
She smiles faintly.
"One can only hope."
After a moment, she continues, her gaze drifting up to the pillar of light.
"I wanted you to see it before we meet with King Æthelgar. I wanted you to grasp exactly what it is we're dealing with. This is bigger than you and me, even bigger than the Conclave itself. If the heart dies, then every living person in Tarsinium will be destroyed. That is what we must impress upon the king. He knows that we're facing demons, and though he's willing to help us, he must understand the full gravity of the situation. We'll need every resource we can get if we're going to survive."
I exhale and mutter under my breath,
"No pressure, then."
We linger for a few minutes more before heading back to the lift. Together we make our way back down to the main level of the Pillar of Radiance, an ominous pall hanging over us.
"We must prepare to leave for our meeting with the king," Zara says as we ride down. "Would you like to take a carriage with me to the palace?"
"Thank you, but I need to return to the inn first," I reply, trying not to let my uneasiness of riding back down the lifts show.
"The rangers who came with me are to escort me there."
"Ah," she replies, sounding a touch disappointed.
"Of course."
We step out onto the main level, the noise of the grand chamber washing over us as we make our way to the exit.
"Well," Zara says with a small wave, "I'll see you at the palace. Remember what we talked about, Owen?"
"I will,"
I reply, flashing her a smile.
"See you soon."
My mind is troubled as I step out into the sunlight of the late morning, as the thought of such a device failing leaves me unsettled. It would be hard to forget any of it after what she just showed me.